You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Did you call game? I called game.
Gilbert, fade away.
All right, Ben Standick here for another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. This is not the first, but the second emergency podcast on July 4th. What are the Wizards doing to us here? First in the morning, they sign Mike Scott. I talked about that on the podcast with KL Schwinard from Hawks.com. Talked about that signing. And then the bigger news comes late on July 4th. The Brooklyn Nets have signed Wizards restricted free agent Otto Porter to an offer sheet. The Wizards are expected to match it, but we're going to talk about their options, the plan, what does it all mean, and of course, the other big news of the NBA day, the Boston Celtics are getting Gordon Hayward. That's a big deal for the Celtics, for the East, and yes, also for the Wizards. So here back by popular demand to help me talk about that is the man, the myth, the Bradley Beal non-friend. I was going to say a hater, but I don't like that. But we'll say he's right. The guy who doesn't quite get the Bradley Beal thing totally, Mr. Armon Lee. Sir.
Thank you.
Did you get to enjoy the day at all? Or were you like me just nerding it up on Twitter all day watching the craziness, especially the Gordon Hayward thing was nuts today?
No, actually, I only started nerding it up on Twitter toward the evening when I started working on my podcast. But during the day, I actually was able to enjoy the weather, enjoy some friends, enjoy family. So, yeah, it was cool. And enjoy potato salad, which is always an important factor in any 4th of July holiday celebration.
Absolutely. Just to get the preliminaries out of the way, of course, you can follow Armon on Twitter at Armon_Lee and subscribe to his podcast, The Quarter Lee Report, as in his last name, L-E-E Report. You can find that on iTunes, and of course, you find us Locked On Wizards there as well. All right, let's get into this. Lots to discuss. Let's just start with the most pertinent news for the Wizards, that of course is being the Otto Porter situation. I mean, you and I talked about this the other day when the news came out that he was having a meeting with the Sacramento Kings, and we talked about our feelings there. And I think we're both, you know, spoiler, I think we both think the Wizards need to make this move. For those of those who were out all day and didn't quite get the TikTok of how things went down, let's kind of go through this with the Wizards. So we wake up in the morning. The Wizards have already, before like 9 a.m. came the report, and then I was able to confirm it that the Wizards had come to, or essentially going to come to terms with Mike Scott, the Hawks free agent forward. And that hardly a big move. I talked about that on the previous podcast. You can listen to those details over there. Hardly a big move, but it more or less, I guess, started the day, and it took off from there. The Sacramento Kings essentially abandoned their plan for Otto Porter, and instead they went out and gave a lot of money to George Hill and Zach Randolph. That's maybe another fun topic for another day, but that took them out of the Otto Porter sweepstakes. So then we're all sitting there going, all right, well, now what's going to happen is, what's the next shooter drop for Otto Porter? Then the Gordon Hayward thing gets nuts. There was a report at one point in the middle of the day that he was going to go to the Celtics, but that took like 3 more hours before Gordon Hayward put out a freaking blog post on the Players Tribune. His side was like, no, we haven't committed to anything, even though he wrote like a 1,500-word story.
Right.
I mean, come on.
We're still editing our post. We're still editing.
Yeah, ridiculous. So the second, though, that dropped, that Gordon Hayward said he was going to the Celtics, immediately came reports that said, oh, Otto Porter, he's now going on a plane. He's heading to Utah. He's going to go talk to the Jazz. Didn't totally make sense to me because the Jazz did not have the cap space to do a max deal. They would have to make some trades to give Otto Porter that offer sheet. And I don't know why they would do that if the Wizards are going to match. But before we could even really contemplate too much about that, then came another report that said, oh, no, Otto Porter, forget Utah. He's now signed an offer sheet with the Brooklyn Nets, 4 years, $106 million, essentially what we all kind of knew another team would likely give him. So Otto Porter gets the max. Nothing is officially official until the NBA moratorium
ends, which is on July 6th. At that point, the Wizards will have 48 hours to match. Just to repeat, by every, you know, up until this point, every conversation I've had or every source I've talked to has said the Wizards are going to match. They're now on the clock to do that. Other people have come out and said today, including Chris Mannix, that the Wizards intend to match. So presumably, David Aldridge as well. So presumably they're going to match. But just to reiterate your point, Armand, in case anybody missed our previous podcast, your take on this, on the situation the Wizards are in terms of them matching, you say what?
I mean, there's literally no choice. Like, forget, there seems to be like this raging debate with Wizards Twitter about, and not even just Wizards Twitter, but like DC sports. Anyone in DC sports, this is war, the civil war between, is Otto Porter worth it? Is he not? I think you hit the nail on the head the last time we talked, that you just can't look at raw stats in terms of evaluating Otto Porter. I feel that way in terms of player evaluations across the board, but particularly guys like Otto. So forget about how you view Otto, whether you think he, like, the whole is he worth a max thing in today's NBA is just completely just thrown out of whack, right? So whether you agree or disagree with what exactly Otto's worth is, from a basic standpoint, right, and we got to kind of like drive this point home because I don't think everyone gets this. The money, the $106 million that the Wizards have to match, right, and to keep Otto Porter in D.C., is not just an open $106 million. Like, they cannot spend that money on anyone else. And because of the way their contracts are set up, at least at this point, even if you let Otto Porter walk, which, why would you do that, right? He's a productive young player who has gotten better each year, who shoots incredibly well. When you have guys like John Wall, you know, that's a beneficial attribute in today's NBA, right? So why you would just let someone like that go is beyond me, right? But even if you were to let John or Otto Porter go, with the contracts as constructed currently, you would not have any shot at a max contract next offseason, you know? So it just doesn't make sense to just let – the Wizards have no choice, and really in my mind,
right. I mean,
to let someone like Otto go.
I always get frustrated when I'm in a debate with people, whether it's about sports, politics, what we should have for dinner, I don't know, whatever it is. And the argument they present is the lesser of the argument that you could make. And I look at them and go, you know what, if I wanted to help you, I could probably give you the better argument. So, like, in the case
right.
here, like, I always sort of, you know, I've been, over the course of this podcast, I could probably, it's probably fair to say I probably ended up defending Ernie Grunfeld's situation as much as anybody and tried to put
right.
some logic to it rather than just simply saying, oh, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. But part of, but instead of people complaining about Otto Porter, whether they should or shouldn't sign him, it's essentially a no-brainer for reasons you just said, and simply for this. If he's worth, forget the $100 million that Brooklyn is offering him. To anybody
right.
in the league, he's worth 80, whatever.
Right.
You know, that you're gonna, you don't let an asset of that value walk away for nothing.
For nothing, exactly.
You just don't do that, period. Worst-case scenario, you keep him, and maybe you make a trade somewhere else. But the larger, my point is, though, people trying to justify the reasoning for not keeping him are coming up with these cockamamie notions. He only averages 13 points a game, which if you're judging
right.
Otto Porter based on his points per game, you don't watch the Wizards play, I guess, because, I mean, I don't
yeah.
know. It's not that guy. I saw people
right.
sort of talking about how Otto was a disaster in the playoffs. Because
in one game in the playoffs. Yeah, you know, game 6 against the Celtics. Just completely forgetting about game 7. You
right,
know what
right.
I mean? Like,
right, exactly. I mean, game 6, absolutely, he was a mess. You know what? You
right.
know, I think James Harden was a mess in the last game that Houston played, but he makes a max contract, and nobody wants
and no
to
one
say he's an
eye.
And I'm not comparing
right.
the two players. I'm just saying these things happen. And, in the next game, in the game 7, on the road where things get harder, he went 20-10
right.
in that game. Okay, but all that aside crap. I feel like I forgot what I was just about to say. What was I going to say, Armand?
Let me take a wild guess.
I mean, I guess the bottom line is up. Maybe I'll try to circle back. But, I mean, yeah, the bottom line is you can't let him go for – oh, I know what I was going to say. So if you're – instead of complaining about what Otto Porter is or isn't, he's a very good player. He's 24 years old. He does a lot of good things that show up in the stats. His advanced numbers are among the best in the league, not just at his position, but like in the league as a whole, true shooting percentage, things like that. But it, you know, instead of trying to justify why he isn't worth the money, you should note the reasons why the Wizards almost have no choice to keep him. And part of that is of the moves they made previously, including last year. If they hadn't spent all the money the way they did on the Mahimis and Nicholsons of the world, they maybe would be in a better position. They could maybe let this go. If Kelly Oubre, I'm sorry to say to all you people out there who think Kelly Oubre is, you know, should be
the
cover of
the second coming of Paul George.
Not there. He's not even close enough where you could say, you know what, we think he'll get there this year. You can't assume that at all. And so so the bottom line is if you let Otto Porter go, you will take a step back because they don't have enough money to go out and get somebody else, and they don't have enough pieces to replace him. If you're willing to do that, this has been my biggest point. If you're willing to accept that the Wizards are going to take back, and then simultaneously, I know I just sort of said you should, in some level, blame the front office for having to kind of do this, but you can't blame the front office at that point if they take a step back because of Otto. I know that maybe doesn't totally make sense, but you have to accept, because they shouldn't let Otto go, in my opinion.
Right.
If you're saying that they should, then you have to say, fine, I'm willing that they're gonna lose more games, and therefore I'm not gonna complain about management. Oh, and by the way, John Wall still hasn't signed his offer sheet yet, and now you're taking Superman. A step back at that point. We'll get to him in a second, but that's sort of my overall point of this. I know I said a lot of this the other day, but you know, it's been a frustrating day on Twitter dealing with various people.
Yeah.
Some people in front of Twitter, some people behind the scenes, and I'm almost like, oh my god, my head hurts.
It's almost like people don't want to listen. Like people, and this is kind of like, I guess, a commentary on just the world in general. People will just be so quick to plant their flag at whatever position they feel, and they won't listen. Like they just shut everything else down. Again, you said it perfectly. Whether you feel Otto was worth whatever, max whatever, obviously other teams do value Otto. So if worst comes to worst, he's an asset. You know what I mean? So if you sign him to whatever deal, and, you know, you can't be myopic in today's NBA. You got to always think forward. Not, if nothing else, in December, January, by the trade deadline, you then have another asset. It's clear that John and Brad are untouchable, which makes sense. But if you have any – the Wizards don't have young assets, and they don't have cap space. You need flexibility in today's NBA. So just letting an asset walk for nothing, it makes less than zero sense. You know what I mean? You just can't do that.
No, I mean, you know, and it's funny, and again, if I'm repeating myself a little bit from the other night, I apologize. I don't remember what I said an hour ago because it's been a crazy a crazy 48 hours here. But, you know, the cap space – well, let me back it up. People, Wizards fans, but really fans of all teams, say sort of the same basic mantra with their front office. We want you to draft good young players, and we want you to nurture them, and then we want you to keep them. They view it, though, with this idealistic vision of what they have. Right? So the Wizards have now done that. John Wall, Bradley Beal, they've been re-upped. But they're about to presumably re-up Otto Porter. That is exactly, if I asked every single Wizards fan 5 years ago, if this is the formula you would seek, you would say yes. The fact that Otto Porter is getting this money... It is what it is. Again, we can complain about other aspects of it, but again, is he worth whatever that means, 4 for $106? If every NBA player is a free agent, he would not get 4 for $106. Okay, but that's not how this works. In this market, in this situation, his value came out, and they have to make a decision. The only – back to the point earlier about, like, I think I can make better arguments for people. Some people made this argument, but I think they did it sort of for the wrong reason. The argument of, well, does John Wall want Otto Porter there? I think because of the comments he made about Paul George to ESPN, where he basically kind of said, hey, we've got everything else, but we kind of need a small forward who can defend a LeBron, and Paul George is – whatever. Again, one,
right.
Paul George is better than Otto Porter. Nobody would argue that, probably including Mr. Porter. Okay. But in the same article, John Wall said really nice things about Otto Porter also. And third, and most importantly, how many times does John Wall have to say something that we, meaning people in the media, but every people in general, sort of have to go back and clean up later? Just a year ago,
right.
he said he and Brad don't get along. Well,
yeah.
I told you all from the second that that happened, that's not really right. They're not BFFs. They're not singing Kumbaya, braiding each other's hair, but they're fine. And guess what?
Right.
We see how that played out. That time when he sort of made that Twitter comment about Reggie Jackson making the same amount of money as him, he didn't really care. And the reality is, it didn't matter. John Wall was literally making as much money as he possibly could make.
As he possibly could.
Right. It wasn't like the Wizards were being cheap and he couldn't get anything, but that became a story. It constantly happens where he says stuff, and, you know, I like John a lot.
Yeah.
John's really cool to talk to. I've said this many times, but sometimes he says some things, and you're like, hey, people misinterpret it, whatever. So I'm not saying, you know, maybe he doesn't like being, maybe he's not a huge Otto Porter fan, and if the Wizards know that, that's a concern. That's something you have to consider. But, man, he's going to have to really hate this guy. to have to dump him. And again, if the Wizards are going to spend $106 million to keep this guy, they're spending money. I believe this is probably going to put them over the luxury tax. They may be able to do some other maneuvering, so ultimately they don't get there. You'd have to think that would be a good thing for John Wall. So that's something else to consider. The John Wall part of it, if he's not happy, maybe that's something to be worried about. But he's really going to have to be unhappy for me to not keep Otto Porter.
Yeah, and, you know, especially with today's growing numbers, you're seeing players, they don't leave their money, especially if they're winning. You know what I mean? So, look.
Well, you right,
the
well,
Wizards
you,
without
– You say that, though, but, I mean, technically, Gordon Hayward just left money. I guess Durant left money?
Durant, I guess. Yeah, but Durant left money, and it wasn't as significant as the Hayward, right? But he left money to win a chance, to get a better chance at a championship. And I think Gordon Hayward did the same thing.
And also, Durant in particular, he's made, you know, he can make so much money in endorsements that, you know, I'm not saying you don't just throw money away, but he can make it up pretty easily.
And when you see what Durant did this offseason, not to get off track, it's clear. He was looking for happiness, right? You know, it was the old saying, don't mess with happiness. He clearly had a lot of fun winning this year and just enjoying that whole atmosphere that he took. Like, you hear all these, like, when LeBron went to Miami, oh, they took less. They took marginally less and went to a state with the no state tax, right? Durant went to San Francisco and then took less money. So that lets you know what his priority was, you know. But, again, if John – look, the Wizards are going to win more games with Otto Porter than without. That's without a question. Okay, so he helps the team win, and the team can offer him more money. Unless John Wall plans on going to, what, three or four teams, it's just hard for me to imagine him leaving unless something catastrophic happens, right? They can offer him more money, and the Wizards, and this may be a segue into our next topic, are right there. Shouting, depending on how you feel, in shouting distance of Boston, and then whenever Cleveland finally falls, or whenever LeBron is tired of Dan Gilbert, I should say.
Yeah. somebody just was texting me, and I was just checking really quick, and somebody just texted me a joke and said that Wizards should do a sign and trade with Brooklyn and get back Andrew Nicholson. That's just mean. That's just mean. And that was a good segue, but I'm going to screw it up by just saying one last thing. So the question, I guess, is why did Brooklyn bother to do this? If the Wizards are going to match, why does Brooklyn waste their time? Last year, Brooklyn tried to do a couple of these situations with restricted free agents, Alan Crabb, the Tyler Johnson, I think. Both of them got matched. This one presumably is going to get matched. I guess the two reasons you could say would be one, what do they have to lose?
Right.
You know,
two, David Falk, you know, he obviously has clients in the league. you could, you know, do him a solid because,
do him a solid,
because
right.
they were waiting for somebody to give for Otto's camp's waiting for somebody to give him the max officially once the Kings went away. You know, that was becoming harder to do. And as a side note, this is unbelievable speculation. You know, the whole David Falk Wizards thing has been an uncomfortable relationship for some
right.
time now, going back to A. Poland. And I do, part of me kind of wonders if David Falk was potentially looking to steer Otto out of town if he could. But, you know, I've said all along, beyond the Wizards aspect of it, I think Otto Porter is best served being here. My only fear, and just because this is where he's now been for his life for the last 6 years in the area, including Georgetown. My only fear,
right.
though, is, as you sort of said, there's a lot of out there who seem to be almost angry about this idea that he's going to stay. And I hope he's, you know, he doesn't have this, you know, alpha personality. I just hope it works out and he's, you know, can deal with whatever's about to come his way from that, you know, sort of attention and such standpoint. There are also a lot of people like you and I who think this should happen, but it,
right.
And Twitter is a terrible microcosm, regardless of certain people in the world who think that they're getting out their message to a lot of people. Most people in the world are not on Twitter, so
right.
I shouldn't judge you by that. But in any event, So look, the Wizards, if they keep Otto Porter, at the moment, they will be bringing back their starting lineup. They will be bringing back some of their top reserves from last year, namely Jan Mahimi, Kelly Oubre, Jason Smith. They've now added three reserves, two guards and Tim Frazier and Jody Meeks. If healthy, it's a massive upgrade over what they had. It's a low bar situation, but nonetheless. And then you get Mike Scott, again, another sort of risk-reward player. And then the last few positions are probably going to be a bunch of young guys, and you're kind of hoping. I don't know if the Wizards are in position, frankly, to do much else at this point unless they can make a trade. That said, the reason I just sort of went through that roster is the Boston Celtics today, as I mentioned, they get Gordon Hayward. This is on top of the fact that the Boston Celtics had the number 3 pick in the draft and got Jason Tatum. They've also added some other rookies, which we'll sort of put off on the side for now because I don't honestly quite know how they're all going to fit in.
Right.
So the question becomes, the Wizards and the Celtics, I know the Celtics were the number 1 seed in the East last year. The Wizards were 4th, so there's a gap there. But these two teams played 11 times last year. The home team won every game. That's about as even as you can possibly get. And so the question, I think, is, so if the Wizards have ultimately don't make any big splashy moves, they kind of bring back their same team with those, you know, upgrades, hopefully, in the backcourt, on the bench. And the Celtics make a big splashy move in Hayward and get the number 3 pick. Have the Wizards fallen significantly behind Boston? I don't know what your take on this, Armand, is. My take is this. I don't think they have, because I like Gordon Hayward a lot. He's not – like, I call the guys who are the best players sort of one and a half – I think this is the term I was using, one and a half players. By that, I mean
right.
they basically command a double team at all times. Gordon
right.
Hayward's not that guy. I mean, you may go double team him at some point, but it's not – he's not going to take over the game the way a LeBron or Durant or somebody like that. He's a very good player. There's no argument. But in the process, they had to give up the rights now to Kelly Olynyk. They lost Amir Johnson, who's not that great, but he played minutes for them. He's gone. And by everyone's account, they're going to have to trade somebody on their team that was a key player to get enough cap space to get Hayward. Sounds like most people think it could be Marcus Smart. So if you take away those guys, even if you add in Hayward and the number 3 pick, who, unless Jason Tatum is a top 3 Rookie of the Year candidate, I can't say he's going to move the needle that much in year one. I don't
right.
think the Wizards are – I'm not – today, July 4th, I'm not saying, you know what, Wizards have no shot against Boston. I don't see that. I think it's a fairly even series. Probably comes down to the home court. The Wizards probably won't get it, and maybe that's going to be the difference. But to me, all that's happened at this moment hasn't pushed the Wizards so far away from Boston that I think some people think they have. But maybe you have a different point of take on this. I don't know.
Yeah, so a few different points, right? And you kind of came circle back to it toward the end. Like you said, they played 11 times, and the home team has won each time. I think if the betting odds or however you would break it down, the chances are that Boston would have home court again this year compared to Washington.
Right.
And I don't think that I wouldn't say that Boston has significantly like put distance between them and Washington, mainly because I felt, and I think I said this in the last episode, I feel like Washington should have beaten Boston last year. And I think most people, especially when you look at the way the first four games went, you know, the Wizards blowing a big lead both first two games and then completely dominating Boston in the two games in D.C., I feel like the Wizards were better than Boston last year. And I think now that Boston is better than Washington. So while the distance between the two, I wouldn't say is like significant, there has been distance, right? And I also would and I kind of touched on it in the last topic, right? Flexibility is so important in today's NBA just because you can maneuver, you know? There's a chance, not a huge chance, because I think most people think Philadelphia is going to be really good, but there's a real chance that Boston has not only the first pick next year, but the second pick in the draft next year. Like, this is after trading out of the first pick this past season and winning 50 games.
Right.
That's number one.
And just to that, like, I'm with you. Boston is definitely positioned way better than the Wizards, although even with that said, Boston's got a lot of free agent guys coming up next year, including Isaiah Thomas.
So they got decisions to make.
So they may look completely different by next year. But having those draft picks, you know, when it comes to the trading deadline next year, they could make another move. I mean, look, Boston's not done yet. We'll see what they do now. Come back to me. You know, we may have to have another conversation in a couple of days if they somehow you know, make a move and they package some things and get somebody else. So they're positioned better. They're deeper, all that. Last year, Boston won 53 games and the Wizards won 49. As we stand today, do you think that either one of those teams are going to win significantly more or less than that amount?
I think it wouldn't be significant. I think the Celtics win more. I definitely think when you look at Boston, and especially versus the Wizards, right, the Wizards really found something when they started trapping Isaiah Thomas hard because Boston just didn't have any ball handlers and any guys to create. Well, that changes now with Hayward, and we don't know what Tatum is, but it definitely changes now with Hayward. And you would expect that guys like Jaylen Brown would get more minutes, especially if Marcus Smart goes. And, you know, I think that's a trade most people would take, right? The Wizards winning 49, it's tough because they started so poorly last year. I don't think Washington starts – obviously, most people wouldn't expect Washington to start as poorly as they did last year. So there's a real chance that they get to 50, but – there's so many question marks with the team. You know what I mean? Tim Frazier obviously is an upgrade over Brandon Jennings. Jody Meeks, we don't know about health. Mike Scott, we don't know. And we don't know how the rest of the roster fills out. So there's a lot of question marks. I think the Wizards are just as they could have been last year. I think they're anywhere between like a 52-47 win team. I just think the Boston probably added wins this year. So again, I don't think that it's a significant difference. But I do think there is a difference.
Boston, you know, my biggest thing with Boston is I really, you know, Brad Stevens, I've said this before, he is a Jedi. So, you know, you give him more stuff and, you know, all of a sudden that could do a lot. But, of course, it was also the first year with Scott Brooks. You know, presumably
right.
He'll get better. Yeah, I mean, look, there's no doubt. The Wizards have some questions. I mean, without getting into the Mike Scott thing too much, while you and I talked about the Jody Meeks signing the other day, and I was more in favor than you, you know, you're taking a little bit of a risk. This is a guy that's been injury prone. Now you're taking a second player. His issues only go back 1 year, but I'm sort of like, wait, now you're bringing in two guys that you're not 100% kind of sure where their floor is based on recent years. That, to me, makes it a little scarier. And Boston, because they've got so many young guys and so many pieces, you know, they've got a lot more sort of upside. But, you know, like I said, if we're just looking at next year, I don't know what Jaylen Brown's going to be. He'll be better. I like Jaylen Brown. But, you know, is he going to 100% give them more than Kelly Olynyk did, who I'm not saying was all that? I don't know. Is Jason Tatum going to come in and be a guy that Brad Stevens uses a lot? I don't know. If they trade Marcus Smart, I mean, right, what's their backcourt? Their backcourt is
Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas.
Right, and Terry Rozier. You know, I mean, that's not bad, but, you know, the Wizards have a better, you know, starting backcourt, at least.
Starting backcourt, yeah.
I think Tim Frazier's reasonable. I don't know if he's better or worse than Terry Rozier, but it's not like a massive disaster. Like last year, Terry Rozier to Brandon Jennings was like a comparison, like on like the look scale from me to George Clooney. So, I'm the better looking one in that scenario. If that wasn't clear.
But like we talked about this earlier, right? Or the other day, at least. The Celtics have a nice mix of offense, defensive guys, right? They didn't have to let go of Crowder. Avery Bradley's still there. Horford is a smart defender. And the Wizards, up until this point at least, they haven't really addressed – it's only, day four of free agency, but there's still there's still needs that Washington has. And that's not to say that they can't do it. That's not to say that, like you said, with the lesser – offensive load that John and Brad can improve defensively, or that Mahimi's health can make it world of there's all these variables, but they're still variables. They're not set in stone. And we do know Avery Bradley's a great defender. We do know that Jay Crowder is a good defender, and now Horford. You know what I mean? We know that about Boston. We still don't know just how good or good at all Washington's defense will be next season.
Yeah, and like I said, that's all totally. Totally fair. And like I said, I'm not a homer, but I'm not being on a homer.
Right.
I'm not just trying to find the half glass full. Like I said, I'm not thrilled necessarily with the position that the Wizards put themselves in. I'm just trying to look at the reality, both in terms of the Otto Porter thing, why they had to do it. And then also with this stuff, if Tim Frazier, if Jody Meeks, and maybe if Mike Scott hit, then I think the Wizards have shored up their bench as much as the Celtics improved their starting lineup, sort of, with Hayward. I don't think Hayward is let's put it this way, Gordon Hayward is not the best player on a title team. And I think that feels like he spent all day wondering what he was going to do. I feel like that's gotten lost. Durant last year, yes, that was the thing.
Yeah, that was huge. Yeah.
Not here. Anyway, so it's going to be interesting. There's more moves to make all over the place. The Wizards are basically rostered out as it stands. Assuming Otto stays, they've got 15 guys under contract, but Sheldon Mack and Daniel Eshefu have small guarantees, so the Wizards could move off of that. They still got something to do with Bojan Bogdanović. Perhaps doubt he comes back, but maybe they can do a sign a trade or somehow to get some cap relief or maybe some other assets. We will see. I meant to say this earlier. If you're listening to this and you're in the D.C. area, I'm going to be on News Channel 8, 9 o'clock Wednesday night with our pal Aaron Hawksworth. So you can tune in. I presume we'll talk about the Wizards. You can tune in and watch that. See me sweat on TV. Always a good time. Armand, anywhere, the quarterly report or anything else we need to tell the folks where you're going to be presenting?
Just every Thursday, a new episode of the Quarterly Report. Break down the NBA, boxing, entertainment, the whole nine. Have a lot of fun there. So, check it out if you have it on iTunes, Quarterly. Quarterly spelled with a hyphen and L-E-E off my last name, Report.
So definitely do that. And, we'll see. So the real fun, so a reminder, July 6th. Noon, the NBA business opens. From that moment on, assuming that, I guess Brooklyn hands in the offer sheet then, the Wizards have until 11:59 on July 8th to match it. If they're going to match it, I'm assuming they're just going to do it right away.
There's really no reason not to.
Right, there's really no reason not to. If they linger, which I kind of hope they don't, but if they linger, I will be out in Vegas July 8th, so that could be interesting.
There you go.
So we'll see how that goes. All right, man. Well, I appreciate it, as always, for you jumping in. A wacky day. I really hope today was going to be a non-work day, and instead this is a two-podcast day. What a ridiculous.
Hey, man. You knocked it down with, 16 minutes to spare, so good on you.
There you go. All right, man. Well, I appreciate it. We will talk soon. Thank you guys for listening. As always, check out all the podcasts on iTunes or anywhere else to do the podcasting. And until next time, see ya.
Beal gets open for three. Dagger! Home drive. Off balance shot. Dagger.
Ball.